Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the show. This is Word on the Streets with the amazing Mr. Keith Fletcher. Take a bow, sir. Take a bow.
Yeah, thank y'all. Thank you. Thank you. How you doing out there, man? Blog Talk Radio, man. We here. We here. Another day. Another one down. We on here knocking on the door, baby. Coming. How y'all doing out there today? How you doing, extraordinaire? What's going on?
Hey, man. It's all good, man. It's our Friday. But it's everybody else hump day Wednesday.
Yeah.
So, hey, man, it's all good in the neighborhood. You know, a lot of people say, you know, all this and all that. But we say, you know, we're happy to be breathing another day and happy to be able to come on this platform to be with our family, Word on the Streets family,
yes,
man.
Sir.
That's what I say to that, brother. Man, what's up with you, my brother? How you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing good, man. I better, you know, got me. I'm getting up early morning, up at it, giving it to the Most High, you know, pushing this workout thing and letting the Most High guide me. He bringing people towards me. I've been trying to run away from him for years, but it's still coming back, man. So it's still the workout thing, man, doing that. And, you know, got my dogs with these dogs and by remodeling this house, making meetings and stuff like that, man. That's all I'm doing, man, and learning, you know, putting stuff in my head, man, following it where the Most High want me to go and learning, just enjoying things, man, enjoying learning things, you know, the new things that got going on, man, and enjoying our show, man. I was talking about that on the show this morning about what we're doing on Blog Talk, man, the production that you be giving, extraordinary. I'm excited, man, where we going. Excited about the future, man. Excited about our fans and people that come listen to us, excited about what we're giving them. So what about you, brother?
Hey, man, talking about that, man, why don't you just share with the audience, everybody out there listening, man, is not very familiar with everything that you do, because friends, neighbors, newcomers, Mr. Fletcher not only broadcasts on Blog Talk Radio, Word on the Streets, but he have a platform on Facebook, and he speak regular, and he is giving out some valuable information that I encourage everyone who's listening in right now to check him out. And the brother, my man, you was up early this morning at 7:30, feeding everybody, feeding your family, feeding your kids, and feeding everybody who have ears and want to hear. Why don't you lay down to us what you was talking about this morning on your platform?
Yeah, I was just giving it to you, man. You know, it's so easy to have doubt and make excuses, man. You know what I'm saying? And when we're going through something that we can fall and get in that deep hole of, you know, despair and, you know, and blame and all that. You know, and you hear people when you're trying to give them something and somebody tell you, well, you know, everybody move at different times or their journeys are different and they just not ready. And I told them, I said, it's really not what you're missing. It's an opportunity. You know what I'm saying? We're so quick to say, well, they just wasn't ready, but it's not what it is. It's opportunity that you're missing. And you letting something block your opportunity. You know what I'm saying? I don't think that's a good excuse. I'd have been down that road that we said, well, I didn't know. You're missing an opportunity. You know what I'm saying? If we can pray to the Most High and beg and plead, send me somebody that he's sending that to you. Then we want to dictate when and what and how, not that person. You know, I'm not ready. But, you know, I just said, like, we so quick to say that, but, man, you know, it is what it is. But when you miss that opportunity, you don't get that many opportunities, man. So I'm saying you've got to be very mindful of that. And just trying to uplift them and tell them, man, we all been through some things. You know, we all go through some things. But, you know, we start just getting that despair mode and that victim mode. And we get so caught up in that and we're missing out on so much when we can just turn it around and have courage. Man, it's courage to get off that. So when you're depressed or you're going through something, it takes courage to get up. You know what I'm saying? And keep fighting. It was, like I said, like a farmer. The farmer had a hailstorm that destroyed his crops. You know, we were talking, oh, my God, the crops. It's all about what are you going to do after that. The story is about what he did after the storm, after things that got destroyed. That's what you want to hear about. What did he do after that, man? You know, and they have great people. They have great, so many great stories of people overcoming things. So that's what I was talking about this morning, Extraordinaire.
Man, that was deep. I enjoyed your show. In fact, I enjoyed all of your shows, which is why I'm locked in. Whenever you put a show out, I'm locked in, you know. And I want to make sure that Word on the Street family, I don't care where you live in, Kansas City, California, New York, Houston, Dallas, wherever you are in New Orleans, I see you New Orleans on the phone line. Make sure y'all get locked in on Keith Fletcher on Facebook. But as to what my day been like, man, you had asked me, it's been another blissful day. Friends, I kid you always, it's no lie, when you get on this road of self-improvement, making yourself better. Let me find me in this alarm right here. Turn that sucker off right now, excuse me. But when you get on this highway of improving, wanting to improve yourself, the first thing you really, really need to do, I know as for me, maybe for some of you all, it may mean something else to you. But for me, I have to be an FBI on guarding my thoughts. My thoughts, man, my thoughts get in my way so many times. So I guard those suckers because so often, so many times, Fletcher, my thoughts have gotten in my way and have caused me to lose bigly. So in my present life today, I'm waking up a new person, a new extra. And I'm excited when I'm waking up today because no longer am I a victim of my past thoughts. You know what I'm saying? I now know I'm in control. And I don't allow my mind to just wander off on things. And, you know, thoughts have a way, Fletcher, of they can make you happy or they can make you sad.
Mm-hmm.
But when you become the guardsman of your soul, you won't allow. Look, you're waking up. What reason it is you need to be feeling sad because you're having a memorable moment? And somewhere along lifeline, when we look at the past, oftentimes it start off with happiness, but it generally leading to sadness. But when you take control of your thoughts, when you see that pendulum swinging down negativity, down depression, down unhappiness, that's the wrong street. You know you're on the wrong street. So you got to turn that car around and say, no, I'm not going where you want to take me. I'm not going to allow you to just think any old thing you want to think. So that's where I'm at right now. Yeah, and secondly, to introduce myself to a new way of thinking, I practice positive affirmation. I talk to myself constantly. I record myself. I listen to myself nightly. If I'm not listening to myself, I'm listening to positive motivation from someone else, because what I'm doing, I'm erasing all that old garbage, and I'm implementing a new program in my DNA, in my thoughts, in my way of living, in my way of thinking, in my way of believing. And so that's what my day been about, and that's what my day is. And tomorrow, each day is like peeling an orange. I'm peeling off what used to be who I was, and now I'm bringing forth a better version of who I becoming. So all of that is in line with what we're talking about tonight, friends. And Fletch and I were so excited that everybody tuned in to be with us tonight. You know, in our last program, we talked about unleashing your inner drive, tips for staying motivated. Tonight, we're talking about overcoming procrastination, because, you know, we all can identify with you know, one way or another, we procrastinate at some time or another in our life. But before we peel that onion, Fletcher, we have some housekeeping I know we got to do, because my brother Fletcher always remind me, either before the show or after the show, he going to tell me, man, you didn't give him the phone number. Man, you didn't. So anybody want to call in, we love to hear from you. The call-in number is area code 319-527-6769. Again, that call-in number is area code 319-527-6769. And if you're interested in coming on the platform, you have something you want to give to the community that is positive, that is uplifting, send us an email at wordonthestreets@extraspin.shop. wordonthestreets@extraspin.shop. But now, since all that housekeeping out of the way, we're going to be talking about overcoming procrastination. And we're going to be kicking it back and forth. But one of the things, though, with this topic, Fletcher, is that there's a psychology behind procrastination, something that we're going to explore. And the reason why we often put things off or delay taking action. You know, we kicked it around on this show that a lot of time people do things out of fear. And we've combed that hair really well about fear. But it's not just fear. And I'd like to get your feedback on this, Fletcher. It's not just fear. There is a group of people out there, I believe, Keith, that are perfectionists. Let me explain what I mean. There are some people out there that unless they can cross every T and dot every I, if they can't do that, they just not going to do it. And then, you know, and that sound good on the surface. But you see, that's sort of, to me, that's a pious intellectual kind of way of procrastinating. Because you can, I mean, we can for Mr. and Mrs. Perfectionist, a lot of things go undone because you are so aloof that you describe and believe and feel that if you can't do it perfectly, you shouldn't even do it at all. If you can't dot every I and cross every T, if you can't do it just right, then why even bother? What you say about that, Fletcher?
God, that's very true, man. Me personally, you know what I'm saying? I like to speak on me personally. Working in the business of construction, the home business, you know, we talked about people like that, man. Like, people will come and they be wanting things perfect. I'm talking about to the T. I'm talking about to the everything. And I always tell, I say, this is man-made. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be some mistakes. There's going to be some things that ain't going to be perfect. Going to be some imperfection. That's what about man. We man-made things. And like you say, some people can get so wrapped up in being perfect that it would affect things in their life. You know what I'm saying? Affect relationships, affect a lot of things to get things done. Being in the Army, man, we used to work together at a leadership course called PLDC, the one that some of our soldiers that's been in the military, that they were putting through training. You know, they will put somebody in lead of different things, and they put you in this task, and you got so much time to do it, and what they got to get done, and some people couldn't do it because they wanted something so perfect, they wasn't meant to be perfect, you know what I'm saying? Some things, don't get me wrong, are meant to be pointed perfect. I don't ever meet that point of perfection, and it depends on the person, that's what I feel. But we would get to the point that you were so perfect, to try to be so perfect that you fail. You know what I'm saying? And like you said, in life, you can get to a point that you're trying to be so perfect that you never get nothing done. You know what I'm saying? You never move, you know? And then now it starts looking like you're a failure when you were trying to complete. You can be very smart, very intelligent, but you want things so much, so right at that time that it causes you to look different than what you're trying to, like you won't make that move. Look like it's fair, but you know what I'm saying? It's been perfect. You try to be a perfectionist at what you try to do. And I know a couple of friends like that, man. They got real, real intelligent guys. You know what I'm saying? Real mean well, but it just got to be right, Keith. I'm like, dude, but you ain't moved. You know what I'm saying? You ain't did it yet. You know, you have a list. He have a list of items. I used to mess with him all the time. He have a list. I said, man, did you get your list done? Man, I'm still on number one, man. I'm trying to get that just the right way. Man, you got 20, 19 more things on the list trying to focus on number one, and you ain't got number one done, you know? But that's what I say. Mm-hmm. That's not my evaluation of it, man.
But you know what, man? But you know what? And it's not just adults. I hope we have some young people listening in, student, man, college student, high school student. Some people, when it comes to doing papers and stuff, there are a lot of people, man, when it comes to that, unless they feel like they writing this thing just right, if they can't do it as perfectly in their mind's eye that they think it should be done, why even? They just throw it on the side. They don't do it.
They get anxiety over it. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So you see, procrastination comes in different forms, but it's still a form of procrastination because in the final analysis, what Fletcher just described, he asked his friend, he got a list, and he still had that list because he hadn't completed it. And the reason why he hadn't completed it, he procrastinated. Mm-hmm. And see, it's like they say in politics, it doesn't matter, man, how much your lipstick you put on a pig, it's still a pig. So it doesn't matter how you dress it up, whether if you're a perfectionist or not, and you're not doing the task isn't getting completed or done, is still a form of procrastination. Mm-hmm. And the reason why we're talking about this, because this thing is huge, and it falls in the laps of many people across all racial barrier, all economic barrier. Procrastination works is a huge thing, which is why it ran across our radar as something that we need to talk about. I want y'all to check this out. I'm only going to play a little bit because I want you to get a flavor of really how serious this thing is. Well, you all who listen know it's serious, whether you want to say it or not. Whether we say things or not doesn't negate the fact that it's still true. But y'all check this out, and we're going to chop it up on the flip side.
There's small steps that you could take, that you might take, that would put you in that direction. And then the question is, are you big enough to take those small steps, you know? Are you capable of grappling with the fact that you're fundamentally flawed to the point where you have to break things down into almost childlike steps in order to manage them? And the answer to that is, yeah, you are. And that's a lot of, I don't know if it's a lot of everyone. Most people have things they avoid, you know, and they're afraid of. So I would say to some degree, it's a lot of everyone. People vary in the degree to which they've conquered that. And you do meet people from time to time who are extraordinarily disciplined. But most of the time, they've got disciplined in exactly this manner, through slow, incremental improvement. And then you challenge yourself. It's like, well, could I do this? That would be better. And you find out, and then you think, well, is there something slightly larger and more challenging that I could do that would be better? And you try it and you find out. And as you try it and you find out, generally you get better at it and you can take on larger and larger challenges.
And I only played that excerpt, that's Peterson, because to echo my point, he and millions of other Americans are dealing with procrastination, and people are trying to find out ways, how can I overcome this? And sometimes, and we have talked about this often on this platform, fear is a big issue, but he just spoke that sometimes our egos become a form of procrastination. If we don't think we can do that, especially when we think others may be watching us, Fletcher, guess what? Rather than embarrass ourselves or fail at it or whatever, we're not going to crush our own ego. So what are we going to do? We're not going to do it. That's a form of procrastination. And I'm going to kick this one back at you, Fletcher. Here's one that people can use and apply in their everyday life, and is that we often talk about goal setting. A lot of us are really clueless on setting goals. And I love talking about this with you, to be perfectly honest, because you give some really real life situation being a trainer in lifting weight, is that how people come to you with unrealistic requests. Unrealistic requests, which also is a form of procrastination. And somebody out there might be listening, saying, how in the world can I say that's a form of procrastination? I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to explain why. Because when you come to a professional person asking for something a professional person already know it's unrealistic what you're asking. And they already know that you don't have the discipline to stick to it, because if you had that kind of discipline, you wouldn't be coming to them in the first place. Man, can you build on that, what I'm talking about, Fletcher? Can you make that clear?
Yeah, you on point with that. Like, not even if you came to that professional person, he can, you know what I'm saying, you coming at him a different way. You know what I'm saying? Because if you were that type of person, you already have so many goals and high as what you're trying to do, so it wouldn't be unrealistic. It'd be some simple things that the techniques and understanding that. But when somebody that comes to you, like you said, I'm looking at you, and you saying, hey, in 30 days I'm going on a trip and I want to lose 50 pounds. You know what I'm saying? Unrealistic. That is not going to happen in 50 days. You know what I'm saying? 30 days, which, you know, that's what I'm saying, things like that. You know, even like you say, PPC, people say 90 days, you can lose your – it can be done in 90 days. It can be done in 90 days. But like I'm saying, you would already be to a point – you got to be to a certain point like you say, you got to be disciplined. You got certain things that you, your eating habits, your thing that's ready to be that next day. You know what I'm saying? So that's what it's saying. Them are realistic goals that they come with. And it, the thing I like somebody to be like you say, some people like, you want somebody that this whiteboard to have no idea at all, to come there just like a baby with eyes, and them the easy people to teach. You know what I'm saying? Because you're teaching them just like their imagination. You can show them things. They can grasp those things, not let their own thoughts and things get in the way. You know what I'm saying? Questioning you. That's the first thing. Like, I started training somebody today, and the thing I was telling them, you know, let's not think about the weights and what you're doing. Let's think about, first of all, you got to trust me. You got to trust me and believe when I say get on this pull-up thing and bend your legs and pull. You can pull yourself. You're going to think you're too big for us. So trust is a big factor right there. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of people don't even have trust in their own self to trust you. So it's a lot of factors involved in that, what we're talking about. And it comes, like, say, procrastination, the fear, trust, people watching you. It's so much tied into that that will stop you. You already have anxiety thinking, well, I got something out of you. This thing like this story now, you done did something like a paper, you completed it. You ready to do it, and you just don't believe, you fear telling yourself it's not good, it's not ready. And you got the whole paper done, and you ready to present it, and you get that, I'm not ready. I got to do a little bit more tweaking to it. You see what I'm saying? And that could be considered procrastination, and it would stop you. It would drain you. You know what I'm saying? And that would be some fear of saying, oh, it's just not ready for it. I'm not ready for that. And, you know, like I said, when we do training, man, in the gym, when I'm training people, it's more psychology, mental for me. You know what I'm saying? The weights and stuff, like I tell people, if I tell you to walk back and forth every day, do just that, something's going to happen. Your body's going to change. But to get you to walk back and forth, to get you to lift that, to get you to do this, that's the part right there. To get you to show up, be there, be ready, on time. To get you to show up with your gloves, you know what I'm saying, with all your equipment. Them the things, them little things like that, but water. You don't have no water, how you going to finish this, you know? And them the things, the little things like that, that's the things you want to get there. That could be said of procrastination. Right.
You know, I was listening to a program, and it just made so much sense to me. I was saying, wow. So I'm going to try to share what I was listening to everyone who's listening, and hopefully it would make sense to you. It said that it was this instructor, and he told the class that he wanted them to write a 400-page book. And for most people who don't even write, I mean, for a writer, that would be overwhelming. But for a person who doesn't write, that would be almost utterly impossible, a 400-page book. That's all he said. But when he came back, he thought about clarifying that, and he told them, I need, by the end of the year, I want that 400-page book written. Well, for some people who enjoy writing, they saw that doable. But still, 3/4 of the class, that's 75 to 80%, still thought that was an impossible, doable request. So the instructor came back. Being a smart instructor, he broke it down another layer. And then he said, I want you to write a page and a half a day for 30 days. Now he got over 50% of the class buying into that. But still yet, there was another 50% that thought it was too much. So the instructor came back another time, and he said, I want you to just write as much as you can every day. Everybody, he got 100% participation. Just write whatever you can, as much as you can, but write every day. The point of that story, friend, is that when you're setting goals, if he was demonstrating goal setting, setting realistic goals. Goals, you have to break goals down in bite size, because if you don't, it will produce procrastination. If you create a goal that is something unachievable, you're not going to do it. And if you're not going to do something, that's procrastination. But if you can break something down in your head mentally, and you can see yourself doing it, chances are you might do that. You might say, I can see myself writing as much as I can every day, versus seeing yourself writing a 400-page book, and you're not a writer. I hope that story resonated with you, man. Do that make sense with you, Fletcher?
Hey, man, listen, you know I got stories, man. I'm going to tell you,
yeah.
Does it resonate with me? Listen, man, I was in college, and this later on I went to a community college and do my life, and I was in English 3. And I hated English, man, writing. Like you said, I'm that guy you talk about, the writing. Hey, the teacher said exactly like that. He said, we need you at the beginning of the semester, we're going to write a 400-page essay. And I need, you know, he's telling us, you know, I'm sitting up there like, what? So he said some things, what kind of essay he wanted. I never wrote an essay in my life. Listen to me. I'm in my 30s. And when he said something, he said, okay, now y'all begin. People are putting their head down, getting their pattern. And I'm like, I'm sitting up there like, man, what did he say? Why are they opening up what did he say? What kind of format he said? I had no idea. And like you said, it went through just like that. So when I went, I said, hey, anybody got a question? I raised my hand. And he broke it down just like that. Step, he said, okay, well, why don't you do it like, just like you said it, break it down to the point. Still lost. I was at 50% still lost. Then he broke it down. He took me and said, okay, well, come see me after the class, Keith. And he said, listen, man, just start writing. He said, write today. He said, look, write something. I said, don't you just start writing. He said, then by the end of the day, go back and read it. When you read it, correct it. Come back the next day, start from there, write it again. And then, so he went to a point, saying, by the end of that month, come to me. We're going to go over everything, and then we're going to start over again. We're going to correct some things. Then we're going to start just like that. Then we're going to break it down into the format and how everything should be done. That was, man, you said exactly. That was a fact, man. I tell my kids that I did not know how to do an essay till I met that man, and I was in my 30s. But I started off, man, like, hey, I was like, hey, I'm about to get up and walk out the class. I'm not passing this class. It's over. I don't have no idea what I'm going to work write a 400-page essay about. And then he was like, you could pick on what you want to write about. You can write about whatever you want to write about. And that's what he told me when I got. He said, well, man, what you want? I said, well, I'm going to write about my grandfather. He said, well, man, you know the story better than anybody. How can't you not write it? And it made it easier. But to sit that time and break it down just like you did is exactly what he did, extraordinary. And, man, I would have never thought I'd did that, man. And I got a B on the essay. My first one that I really did, you know, I took my time and worked and learned format, you know, and all that, in the essay format and writing, man, it was great for me. But when, like you said, with that first panic, when he told me that, I was it for me. I was like, what, writer, what?
Yeah, add this, man, because I listened to your program, as I said on the beginning of this show. One of the things you often advocate to your listening audience, Fletcher, is that it's a process. It's levels to this. It's level to this. So in those levels, you can put that together in when you're creating goals. There's levels to it. You can't start at the top of the mountain with a 400-page book any more than you can start. When you're talking with people, I know that you're very patient on your platform, and you try to break it down to them how to first save you some money, improve your credit, and you take them by the hand. It's really beautiful. Folks, y'all need to check them out. And listening to you and hearing that that story I just shared, you know, it just made so much sense to me. As I say, you know, that is part of overcoming procrastination. Because, see, sometimes when we put off things, it's because sometimes it's just too big, and we can't see ourselves doing it. We just can't see ourselves doing it. So what we do, we close the door on it.
Yep.
We do like Teddy, but it don't be for no love making to be closing the door, because we don't want to down the deal with this. Like you said, you were about to walk out. Don't want to
handle it. I'm going to walk off the class. Hey, I'm going to take an L, for I'm about to go ahead and get me another class.
Right.
Another
that's right. That's right. Take an L.
We'll find a way.
Yeah, we do. And that's a form of procrastination.
Mm-hmm.
The psychology of procrastination, we all know about this thing called fear. You see, and if we're not careful, we can walk away feeling like, if I could just overcome my fear, then I can handle procrastination. But we're here to tell you it's a lot more than that. You all heard the recording of Peterson. Y'all heard how he is struggling. This guy's a PhD. There are a lot of people with PhD are struggling with procrastinating. There are a lot of rich people dealing with it, a lot of poor people, a lot of white people, a lot of Hispanic, Asian, Black American, male, female. It's a real thing in this world, in this society. Why? Because there always are things that we know we ought to do that we don't want to do. That's why so many corporations, that's why they hire people. Sometimes they hire people because they don't want to be the one doing it, and if it has to be done, it may not get done. Certain things, let's be honest, Fletcher, that's certain things we just don't want to do. And I go as far as say we're not going to do.
No.
In fact, I'd be willing to pay someone to mow the yard, cut the grass.
Yes.
It may just grow above. It may grow taller than the house.
But so now I want to say also, like saying coming out there writing that essay, man. But it's what, like saying, when you get past that fear and that procrastination, things happen, man. Like when you change that narrative, man. And I had to, when the job at a company that I started working for, man, and we had to write emails to high executive people, you know what I'm saying? And by taking that class, learning how to write helped me out. So it's just amazing how they say, if I
so many areas of your life,
so many areas in my life that it helped me by going through that confidence in writing, you know what I'm saying, and reading and know how to write, even the punctuation of what, you know what I'm saying, in the letter. You know, you had to put all these things when you're speaking, man, and just like you're saying, and we so used to text, and our writing and our texting is not the same as an email, you know what I'm saying, not the same as a corporate letter, you know, not the same as you speaking. So, no, it opened that time, that spending that time with him, and he's explaining things, and I'm going back writing, and I'm frustrated. Now, it wasn't no easy walk. I'm not, you know what I'm saying? I'm going back. I'm like, what is he looking for? But when that light bulb hit on, the studying, the training, and understanding the man, and reading more, and man, it's a beautiful thing, man. It came later on that it really helped me later on in life with that. That I said, because you'd have talked to me before that, I was like, man, I don't need no English to learn. I don't do no essays and write. But I'm serious. It's crazy how it happened. I talk about that. It's so crazy how that, and later on in the years that it helped me, man, front and center, came back. And I had to use those things. So now, once you get past that fear, that procrastination, man, it opened up so much. Like we're talking on this morning, when you change one thing in life, so many things changes in that. You know what I mean? Just one thing you change can be affect so much more in your life that you take for granted. So that's what it's about.
Wow.
Man. That's what procrastination
wow.
stops.
That was powerful what you just said, man. You know what else, man? You and I, we were talking, but as you were speaking just then, you know, speaking on this conversation about overcoming procrastination, is that sometimes we sort of like a child scared of what's going to come, that fear. So we pull the cover over our head and hope that it would pass away, hope that it won't come. And, you know, we were talking about direction of will. Is where America is heading. I'm concerned that many people are so afraid and they pulling the cover over their head, hoping it'll pass away or what's getting ready to come down the pipeline, instead of dealing with it now, the early stage, and getting accustomed and used to it so that it won't be a boogeyman 2 years from now. And friends, what Fletcher and I, we were talking about is this new technology. I mean, when the computer came on the scene, a whole lot of, y'all know it for yourself, things changed drastically. The way how we do things. We stopped mailing letters and started sending email. We stopped faxing is not as huge. Faxing still big, but not as fast as emailing and texting. So America took a big dive, a big change. But there's a new revolution getting ready to happen. And this procrastination, this topics tonight is very timely. Overcoming procrastination, fear is psychological. Jump on board now and start getting, how can I say it, start learning a little bit about this artificial intelligence. Because I'm telling you, friends, is the drumbeat is going to get louder and louder and louder. You're going to be driving to fast food places, and instead of a person, you're going to be talking to a machine. When you make an order, it's going to be a machine. When you go to wash your car, it's going to be a machine. When you go to the bank, it's going to be a machine. And if we don't face this fear now, face this trepidation now, 2 years from now, we might find ourselves in a whole new world, like many people found themselves when the computer first hit the market. Man, you wanna add something to what I just said?
No, you hitting it just right. Like when the computer came, man, I remember when the computer came, and I went and bought me a computer, and then you remember we had the dial-up internet. We didn't even have we had dial-up. So when the computer came and dial-up, you had the floppy disk, you had the hard drive. I remember all of it because I was taking computer information systems, and I had to have a computer. And the computer came, and I don't know if you remember, it came so fast, you bought one computer, it was already outdated. You would buy a computer and put it in the home, the next one was already faster than that. I'm saying you buy one now, you know, the computers, now the AI is going to be like this man, Troy Nero talking, in 2 years, it's going to be that fast. It's going to be so fast that, like you said, before you know it, it's going to be, the news people, you're going to think it's really a person, it ain't a person. They're going to be all that just for AI. It's not going to be a person, and people can tell you anything. You're going to think it's a professional, anything, like regular people. It's like Troy Nero saying, we would be able to put on a show. You won't even be able to tell if it's like, man, this is real or this. And it'd be somebody like us setting it all up. You won't even know. Having your favorite actor, your favorite news guy giving it out to him. His face and everything. Like he's a human.
That's right. Going to be the one people giving you the weather report.
Yep. But just think about this. If all that happening, where the jobs going to be going? I mean, if they're replacing all these, doing all that, that's what they need people for. The people will come in and be in a blue screen, green screen, doing that from that screen, and the AI will take care of everything else. Just like at the movies. All them action movies we've seen and all that stuff that you think is real is going to be just like that. So we're not going to know what's real or not anymore. But it's going to take jobs away too, man. It's going to be that powerful, but it still got, like I said, you got to have different eyes and look at things different. Like, what end can I be on? What can I do in this? So a lot of people are going to be scared and going to miss it. You know what I'm saying? You're going to miss it and going to be, like I said, just like I said earlier, showing that opportunity. Where do I fit in this opportunity at? Because that's what it's going to be. It's going to be an opportunity or it's going to be a worst nightmare for some. But you got to see, you got to put what opportunity is now. It's happening, right? It's not the way I got time. No, it's here already. It's happening now. and we're gonna procrastinate. And I'm gonna say that just like that, the chat GPT, what it's called, someone gave that to me. Guy gave it to send to somebody else, and they using it. And I call him back and say, man, he haven't even touched it yet. Procrastinate. Procrastination on, and you're not ready to it, man. But yeah, this is bigger than, like I said, .com bubble, .com when the computers. This is bigger than that. This is huge, and we missing it. You're missing it, and we gotta be procrastinating, be fearful of it. We gotta go ahead. You know, like you said, you're gonna be going to the bank. Ain't gonna be a person there anymore. Ain't gonna be no teller. It's like, that's already happened. Everything is online. Foot Locker is closing 400 stores in the mall. And no Foot Locker, no mall anymore. They did everything online, and things are changing. The world is changing so fast right now, and we're missing it. That's why I was talking about on my Facebook also about it. We're missing these things, and now we need to figure out how do I fit in this new world and what's coming. How do I fit into it? That's what we need to be trying to figure out. But I don't want to go too deep in that dark hole, but go ahead, try that.
That's real good. If y'all enjoying the show, please call in. Our call-in number is area code 319-527-6769. We're going to take a short break, but don't go anywhere because we still have much more to come. We're going to be covering areas like lack of focus, lack of discipline. So make sure you stay locked in so we all can learn about how to overcome procrastination. Hello, everybody. We invite you to share a word on the streets with everyone you know, especially on your social media platform. Also, whenever you're in the Dallas area and you need a place to stay, look no farther than Chanute Palace. I'm talking about a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom, front yard, backyard, 2-car garage, and security camera all around. Friends, you deserve the very best. You deserve Chanute Palace. And lastly, you can support us simply by shopping on www.extraspin.shop. Just go over there and get yourself something or get something for someone you love. This is Word on the Street. Now let's get back to the show. Okay, and we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Thank y'all so much for tuning in and being a part of the show. We're going to go to the phone line and see what's happening out there in the world, see if anybody listening in, if they have any question or comment they'd like to share about overcoming procrastination. Area code 337-353. You have any comment or question for the show tonight? Area code 337-353. Are you there? We'll go back to the show. But Fletcher, to pick back on where we were at and talking about, there's another topic that people are struggling with and dealing with. It's this thing called lack of focus. And you talk about it on your show on Facebook. You know, people, they're not focused. They easily distraction. What's calling that distraction? Social media, their friends. Are you giving energy to people, or are you giving energy to a situation or to people, friends, what have you, when you really, really are not focusing on what's important for you to grow and become more knowledgeable about what it is you know you need to do? And the truth of the matter, friends, we generally know what we need to do, but what we need to do, we oftentimes don't want to do. And for whatever reason, I know even in my own personal life, we find ourselves doing other things that sound good when you tell it to people. Sound good. And sometimes we do things that look good for others who are looking in, knowing internally we're not really doing what we really, really, really need to be doing. In cases like that, I'm asking you, as I talk to myself, the one person you gotta be real with more than anybody else, you gotta get real and be real with yourself. Real talk, y'all. Y'all know the old saying, you can fool some of the people some of the time. You can't fool all of the people all of the time. But I'm going to tell you one person you can't fool none of the time. That's yourself. That's you. When you looking in that bathroom mirror, you know you. You know you. You know your capabilities. You know what you... Let me take it a step farther. Maybe you are afraid of what you don't know. Maybe you, for your ego's sake, you don't do things because you don't even want to know if you can succeed. So you want to continue being macho man. You want to continue being that image you got in your head that you think other people think of you and see of you. So to keep that thing going on, rather than taking on a new task that would make you more profit, a more better, more everything, a better husband, better brother, better sister, better uncle, better grandfather, better manager. Instead of dipping yourself, immersing yourself in that new, that next step, that higher level, because you don't know if you're going to succeed or not. So you procrastinate and you rationalize. And you know what you do, Fletcher? You do nothing. Nothing. You ever met anybody like that, Fletcher? Have you ever experienced that with your own self?
I experienced that with myself plenty of times, man. Just get to the point, just won't move. You know, but sure enough, what I do, like you say, you asked me, we talking about days, said, man, you like you've been up early in the morning. And when I get up in the morning, for real, I give it to the Most High, and I start a plan of my day. And then, you know, sure enough, then we got to be honest with ourselves. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, I know I'm not going to get there. Because our mind, we be racing. Mind does, in a way, that I want this, I'm going to do this, this. And then you got to be honest with yourself, that's not going to happen today. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to get that done today. Let's be reasonable what we can get done today. You know what I'm saying? And save something for tomorrow. That's what I work on. Just my daily goals like that, just being honest with myself. Get up in the morning, planning out in the morning. What I'm going to do, how I'm going to move, how that's going to look. And how that's, and is it what's going to work. So by the time that time hit, man, I get to the gym, I start that off, like I said. But I'm already up before the gym. Like I said, because the gym open till 5, so I got to get up at some 3:30, 3:45 to start around. I can't wait till 4:15 or 4:30 and get up, and then it just messed me out up. But when I get up in that morning, I get early, and I plan it, even like saying, to the detail, like, okay, after I leave the gym, I got to take my protein, I'm going to get a banana, I'm eating peanut butter with it, you know what I'm saying? I'm constantly already thinking about what step-by-step what I'm going to plan out for that day, what I'm getting done on that day. I'm not trying to have that long list of things that I know it can't be done. I know, and then if I can't, it ain't going to be done right. So let's not lie to myself to set them goals the right, correct way. But that's what I do when I get up in the morning. Because if I wake up that late, if I wake up late and get up there, nothing goes right. Now I'm all over the place. You know what I'm saying? It just messed up my whole rotation of how I do things. So that's what I have. That's why I get up early, to be ready to plan my day out, to be accomplished what I need to accomplish in a reasonable manner.
Well, look, Fletch, I got something to throw at you. We don't have that much time in the program, but I want to throw this at you with 5 minutes in the show. a lot of people say, I don't have time. I don't have time. And I want to submit to folks who use that phrase, take a notepad and write down your daily activities, things you do. And I believe at the end of the week, if you take that notepad, don't lie on it, write down what you do throughout your day, you might discover just how much time you have to do some things, unpleasant things. Can you add to that, Brett Fletcher?
But, yeah, man, I can add. I speak to my son, my 18-year-old son, about that. He be like, well, Dad, I got this going on. I got that going on. I got that. What am I after? I say you wake up early. Or you stay late. That's what you do. That's where you have time. You stay up early. You stay, like we talking about working out. He said, well, Dad, we talking about working out, man. Well, Dad, you was working out. I said, I would go to work on lunchtime. Well, how did you do that? What the gym must have been close to you. I said, yeah, we had a gym down the street. I would go there, work out, get me about 30, 45 minutes, take my shower. I would go in the morning to the gym before, and I'd bring my clothes with me to the gym, and I'd take my shower at the gym, get dressed, leave the gym, go to work, have my food already prepared. You got to get the work in. Get up early, work late, work through your lunch. These things you got to do, but ever since, also make time for yourself. I tell everybody, man, you deserve an hour or two to yourself. Meditation, man, I'm telling you, that. Like I said, that morning when I meditate, man, I get up in that morning like Thursday, that's my day off in the gym. So Thursday, I'm going to get up and meditate. I'm going to sit there and meditate, not even move, you know what I'm saying, and just rationalize what I have done for that week. And just sit to myself. So that's not my gym day. So Thursday, I get up early. That's what I do. And then I start studying, putting things on, get my spiritual help, that financial help, you know, that mental health. So that's what I do for me. You know what I'm saying? That works for me. But that time, if you say, I ain't got time, man, you got time. We got 24 hours a day. How do everybody else have time? And my daughter say, you know, she went to class. She made a bad grade. She said, well, Daddy, I didn't have time to finish. I said, well, did everybody else have time? Well, yeah, they finished, so that means you had time. If they had time, they finished in time, you had time. You evaluate that. You know, that's an excuse. You had time. You didn't know the information. That's why you didn't have time. You know what I'm saying? You didn't know what you was doing. Just be honest about that. You didn't study well, so you didn't know the information. So that's why you didn't have time.
Friends, Word on the Street family, we're talking about overcoming procrastination. We ending the show, but Fletcher just gave you all some dynamic tidbit. If you get to the bottom line, what he's saying, a big deal of overcoming procrastination is plan. Make daily plan. He said he gets up early. He have a daily plan. So if you're making a plan and you're following the plan that you make, chances are you can overcome your procrastination for that day. We're not asking you to overcome procrastination for the year or for your life. No.
No.
It's a day-by-day process. Work each day at it. Fletcher say he wakes up and he set goals, daily goals. So set yourself some daily goals. Face fear.
Yes.
Become focused. Educate yourself on things you don't know. Stop being, if perfectionist is your thing, you don't have to be perfect. You just need to start. You just need to get started. Do something. Move. And the most disciplined thing you can do, as Fletcher said, do something. Get up. Write it down. Make a commitment to yourself for that day, y'all. Not for the year, not for the week, not for the month. Set a goal for today. This is Word on the Streets. Fletcher, take us out.
Hey, man, thank y'all for coming to listen to us, man. We enjoyed the show. Another hit, Jornell. Appreciate you, man. Appreciate y'all for listening. And we'll see you again on Monday night, man. That's the next day we'll see you, man. Thank y'all for being with us, man. Thank you.